Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hi, and welcome to Simply Holy, where we uncomplicate holiness with Mary as our mentor. I'm Marge Steinhage-Fenlon, and today's show is all about being a fool for Christ. Being a fool for Christ. Let me give you a brief preview of the show today. So first we're going to talk about what it means to be a fool for Christ. What does that mean? What does that phrase mean? And then we'll look at a couple of related scripture passages that will help us understand this concept of being a fool for Christ. And then finally, we'll examine how being a fool for Christ helps us to become more genuine disciples of Christ. That's the goal. That's what Simply Holy is all about. The path to holiness and becoming more genuine disciples of Christ. First, let me express my gratitude for your prayers and support. They mean so very much to me. And I want to thank you for spreading the word about the show. Thank you ever so much for spreading the word about the show and helping me in my mission to lead the world to Christ through Mary. I can't do without you, and I am so grateful for your support and prayers. Thank you ever so much. Now, let's pray before we really get into the nuts and bolts of the show. Let's pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together today. We thank you, our dear Mother Mary, for urging me to speak and my listener to listen, for that nudge to listen and speak. Very, very important. And we thank you, dear Mother Mary, for that. Let us pray also for open hearts and minds. Father, please, please give us open hearts and minds so that we may savor the message that Christ and our Mother have for us today. In Jesus' name and through Mary's intercession, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Once again, today we're talking about being a fool for Christ. I'm Marge Steinhage-Fenlon, and we have a lively and inspiring show today as we discuss what it means to be a fool for Christ. Now, the first thing we need to do, I think, is to talk about what it's not. Being a fool for Christ, what it's not. It's not acting foolishly. It's not the same thing. And I can give you an example. Many times I hear people say, a lot actually, more often than I'd like to hear, I hear people saying, you know, God will forgive me no matter what I do. God's a loving God. He's got, I'm good. You know, so I missed Mass. I missed Mass on Sunday because, you know, I was feeling kind of hungover and I was just so tired. I just couldn't get up. You know, God understands. He understands. He's going to forgive me. He's going to forgive me because he understands. Well, God maybe understands. And sometimes that's not the best thing because he also understands our own sinfulness. But he's also a God of justice. Yes, he's a loving God, and yes, he's a God of mercy, but he's also a God of justice. So simply passing things off on his mercy. So simply, you know, because he's such a merciful God, you know, he's going to accept whatever my behavior is. That's foolish. That's acting foolishly because when you do that, you're messing around with your salvation. God has commanded that we keep holy the Sabbath. The church has instructed us to attend Sunday Mass unless it is an absolute crisis, health crisis, or some such that absolutely prohibits us from going. But to just make this judgment call on, you know, light reasons and just, you know, expect that God's going to just forgive us, that's foolish. So being a fool for Christ is not acting foolishly. That's not the same thing. Okay? And another thing that being a fool for Christ is not is passing our problems or other people's problems, for that matter, onto Christ. To pass them off onto Christ. In many ways, that's relinquishing our responsibility. Now, this is not the same as trusting in Jesus. I'm looking at this from a different perspective. And that is when we get to the point where we just dump everything off on Christ and expect him to do everything for us. So I don't have to worry about budgeting. God's going to just take care of me, and Jesus will see to it that I have enough to live on. My family's got food and clothing and shelter, and you know I just don't have to worry about it. That's foolish. That is not being a fool for Christ. It's being irresponsible with the goods that and gifts that God has given us. This passing off. And the other thing is, you know, and it, I know that this is, and I sometimes fall into this myself. It's very easy to do this. There are so many problems in the world. We are constantly inundated with bad news, left and right, from all over the place. You can't open a computer. You can't pick up your phone without hearing more bad news. And so the foolish thing would be to say, well, you know, it's God's world. He made the world. Well, he's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of the poor and the starving and the homeless and he's going to take care of the abortion issue. And he's, you know, you see where I'm going with this. So it's this kind of passing off. I don't have to do anything because God made the world. This is his thing. So I can just go about my business and take care of myself and those who are, you know, I'm under me, that I'm responsible for. That's foolish because that's not what God wants. He doesn't want us to dump everything off on him. What he wants is that we work with him creatively to problem solve. That we trust in him, in his grace and his ability to assist us and govern us. But it doesn't mean just dumping everything off. You see the difference between trust and being foolish. I trust that God will show me the way. I trust that he will help me find another, a better means of income. so on and so forth. I trust that God will lead me to the ministry that I should be contributing to or participating in. I trust that God will show me how to help my elderly neighbor who is pretty much homebound. But to just say, well, you know, it's really too bad that my neighbor is doing so poorly, and, you know, but that's God's thing. Let God take care of it. That's wrong, and that is foolish. That is not being a fool for Christ, okay? And then another thing that being a fool for Christ is not, it is not being a fanatic. Now, I think you know someone like that. I know lots of people like that. So these are the people who bury their heads in the sand of devotion. They bury their heads in the sand of devotion. In other words, you know the symbolism, you know, the ostrich burying its head in the sand. So it's kind of like it pretend, even though it's standing right there, it pretends that the rest of the world doesn't exist. Or that's the meaning of that analogy. Well, fanatics bury their heads in the sand of devotion. In other words, they use devotions as a means of hiding away from their responsibilities, from the problems of the world, from reality. And so they constantly, these are the people who can't stop praying the rosary. Now, praying the rosary is good. Absolutely. It's essential for us. How many times has our Blessed Mother appeared and asked us, begged us, pray the rosary? But what I'm talking about is when the rosary or novenas, could even be the chaplet, could even be adoration for that matter. It's when it's used as an opiate. And it's kind of your, you know, some people drink their problems away. Well, fanatics pray their problems away. So they hide behind these devotions and don't face the world. They don't face what it is God's really asking of them. And so their devotions are on overdrive. You know, they're hiding their heads in the sand of devotion. That's not being a fool for Christ. That's being foolish. That's living foolishly. Because we have to do both. We need prayer. We need an ardent prayer life. But we need to be open to God's activity in our lives and the activity that He wants us to participate in. That's genuine discipleship. The disciples were sent out. They didn't hide away praying all the time. So that's what being a fool for Christ is not. Okay? It's not assuming God's going to just take care of everything for me and forgive me no matter what I do. It is not passing your problems off on God or others, you know, the problems of others on God. And it's not hiding your head in the sand of devotion. Let's look at a couple of scripture passages that I, in particular, like to look at when I talk about being a fool for Christ. So first of all, where does this come from? Where does this phrase come from? It comes from the first letter of Corinthians, St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. It's chapter 4, verse 10. And he says, "We are fools for the sake of Christ." We are fools for the sake of Christ. So what we're doing here, and just gathering my thoughts, because there's so much packed into this one passage in St. Paul's letter. He goes on, after he talks about that, we are fools for the sake of Christ. He describes what that's like. What does that look like? And he says we are a spectacle for the world. We're a spectacle for the world. When ridiculed, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we respond gently. We have become like the world's rubbish, the scum of all. That's the explanation for St. Paul's explanation for his phrase, we are fools for the sake of Christ. And what this means is that we face, willingly, by the way, face ridicule, persecution, slander. We allow ourselves to be thought poorly of. Why? Because those that are having that attitude toward us do not understand what we're really about. These are the people who want to deter us from keeping our Christian values. So fools for the sake of Christ means doing what is expected of you, what is pure and noble, regardless of the opinions of the world around you. And I'm sure you've been in situations like that. I certainly have. When you know what's right, and it seems like, or it can seem like, nobody else does, but you know what's right, and you do it anyway, even though you know you're going to face criticism, and maybe people are even going to laugh at you for the choices that you are making. But you're doing this because you are a disciple of Christ and you want to deepen your discipleship. So you let them laugh, you let them ridicule you. To the eyes of the world, you're a complete fool. You're being a fool for the sake of Christ. Let them think that way. Because inside you know what you're all about. And you know what our Lord needs from you. So let yourself be like the world's rubbish or the scum of all. In the end, it doesn't matter. What matters is eternity and our worthiness to live with God in heaven. That's all that matters. And so we can be a fool for the sake of Christ, because we know that the reward lies not here and now, but at the end of our lives, when our Lord takes us to himself in heaven. These things that look foolishness are really not at all. Now I want to look at also Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8. So we're actually going back into the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verse 8. And that says, "And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way, even if they are fools. They shall not go astray." See, there we are again with that word, you know, fools, being fools for the sake of Christ. I'm going to read that passage again, just so you can kind of take it in and let it sink into your heart. So here's how it goes. "And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way, even if they are fools. They shall not go astray." Even if they are fools, being a fool for the sake of Christ. So what does that mean? What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about what Isaiah is talking about here is that what often looks like complete foolishness is in actuality the smartest way. Being fools for the sake of Christ. You know, we just talked about that in relation to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. Fools for the sake of Christ, allowing ourselves to be persecuting and yet persecuted and yet enduring, to be slandered and responding with gentleness, to be ridiculed and yet turn around and bless that person. You see, that looks like foolishness, but in reality, that's the smartest way, because that's the way to heaven. That's the way to heaven. And so the unclean are the ones who think they're so smart. Okay, so what is it? What does that passage say? You see, God provides a sure route for us. And that is the way of holiness. That's what Isaiah says, the way of holiness. That's our sure route. That's the secure path to heaven. But see, the ones who are unclean, the ones who think they're so smart, those are the poor folks who are not going to be passing over that highway. Those are the ones who are not going to secure a spot in heaven. It may look foolish. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. So as long as we cling to Christ and his values and look to his Blessed Mother, Mary, as our mentor, we can't go astray. We can't go astray. And I'd like to give you an example of this from my own life. So my degree, my college degree is it's a really long one. And it's mass communications journalism with an emphasis in public relations. So I know it was crazy at that time. The university was these million-dollar titles for diplomas. But anyway, the point is I had a public relations background and worked in public relations for a number of years before I found my way to the church in the sense of being positive that God wanted me to devote all of my talents to working for the church. So, and that was kind of a, you might call it a conversion, a professional conversion that I went through. During that point in time, as I was still just coming to that realization where God wanted me, that he wanted to devote myself entirely to work for the church, I was offered a position with, I'm not going to say the name on the air here, but with a huge medical healthcare company, huge, lots of money there. And it would have been a permanent position, a full-time permanent position, wherein I could have still worked at home because I had young children. I mean, it was really, by most people's standards, the dream job. And it was easy stuff because, I don't know the technical medical stuff, but doing public relations for healthcare is really easy for me, and it's kind of exciting because I love the idea of people being healthy. So I was offered this position, and the person, because I had done some temping for them, that's how they found out about me. And the person who offered me the position, you could tell, just assumed I would take it because it was such a great job and a lot of money. Oh boy, a lot of money. Well, I didn't immediately accept. I took some time to pray about it because something didn't, it was just not quite right there. I couldn't put my finger on it. And I thought and I prayed and I realized this was part of that professional conversion. I realized that I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. I can't promote anything or anyone that or who is not part of the church's mission specifically. Now I'm not saying healthcare is not a good thing. What I mean is if I would have taken that position, my talents and energies and time would have been taken up promoting that healthcare system. But in my heart of hearts, I knew at that point already that what I was being called to do was to put all that aside and devote myself only to working for the church, for Catholic media and Catholic publishing and Catholic ministries. And so I called the woman back and I thanked her very much for the offer, and I declined. And I will tell you that she was aghast. Oh my goodness gracious. She was, to put it mildly, she was not a happy camper at all. She was, first of all, she was shocked that I had turned down such a great offer. And in no uncertain terms, she reminded me exactly of what I would be missing out on by passing up this golden opportunity. And she tried to make me feel really bad about saying no. And I have to say that she temporarily succeeded. She temporarily succeeded. I stuck to my guns, but after I hung up, I really went and sat before the Lord in our little prayer corner here in our home, and I revisited that question, and I doubted myself. I doubted, God forgive me, literally, but I doubted our Lord's wisdom in urging me, you know, to say no to the position. But in that wrestling spiritually and talking it over with our Lord and his mother, I finally found peace, and I realized, nope, fine, you know, we're not going to have all that extra income. And our family wasn't doing, our family has never done well. We've never, God just has not allowed that we would ever be completely financially secure. So that also was hard, because I realized that I was maybe kissing goodbye some financial security for our family and helping my husband out. But I found great peace because I knew that no matter what the consequences of that decision, materially speaking, and in terms of my reputation, because of course there was the suggestion by this woman that now my reputation would be ruined for having turned down such a position. But I chose to be a fool for Christ. I chose to let the reputation be ruined. I chose to let go of the income and the prestige. And I pledged to devote all of myself, after my family was taken care of course, you know, my husband and my children, but to devote all of myself to working for the church. And I have never turned back from that decision. I have been happier than ever before, at times a little scareder when you're talking about finances, but really it has led to greater things, like this podcast, like my public speaking, when I can go and I can help lead others to Christ through Mary, through my many books. I'm at book number 10, somewhere in there. I guess I don't take myself too seriously. In other words, you know, greater things have come of that, and I'm so grateful. I am so grateful that I allowed myself to be truly a fool for Christ. I'd like to give you an example now from our Blessed Mother's, from Mary's life, in terms of being a fool for Christ. And maybe you're already thinking about it. Maybe you already got this in your head. But think about Mary's situation after she said yes to Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, and conceived our Lord Jesus Christ in her womb. At that moment, she became an unwed mother. An unwed mother. So in that time and place, a woman caught in adultery, which is essentially what that would have meant, humanly speaking, if she had conceived and it was not Joseph, and she was not yet even wed to him, then that rendered her an adulteress in human eyes. And so a woman caught in adultery in that day and time would have been stoned to death. So here she put her very life at risk. Talk about being a fool for Christ. And then think about the shame of being an unwed mother, and the embarrassment of having to bear that shame. I'm sure there was ridicule. I'm sure people misunderstood her and what was really going on. And then her loss of credibility. I mean, she even lost credibility with Saint Joseph. Because what does it say? He couldn't figure out how in the world she could be pregnant. And so he had made the decision to divorce her quietly. Being a fool for Christ. She was, I think, really, we could say, the first fool for Christ. In the sense of putting herself forward like that with great risk, regardless of the consequences, to be a fool for Christ. This is really being a genuine disciple when we follow the way of holiness, regardless of the cost, regardless of the apparent foolishness. That's really what it's all about. Is it easy? No. But it's essential. And so every single day, we need to be, we must be a fool for Christ. So to resist temptations even when we're scoffed at or made fun of, to stand up for what is good, true, and beautiful no matter what the consequences, no matter what would happen to our reputation, to be a fool for Christ on a day-to-day basis. It's going to mass and adoration when others have better things to do or think that they have better things for us to do. It's saying, no, this is what I believe in, this is what I do. And it's standing up for our Catholic Church and the instructions that we are meant to follow to the way of holiness. And that includes being a fool for Christ. A fool for Christ. So, lots to ponder on today's show. And I'm so grateful that you're here listening and sharing in this. As we go through our week now, let's remember to dare to be fools for the sake of Christ. I'll remember, I'll work hard at it, and I ask you to do the same. To dare to be fools for the sake of Christ. So, unfortunately, time already is here to end our show. And I thank you. I thank you for being here to listen and share these moments with me. If you'd like to know more about me, become part of my ministry, or subscribe to my newsletter. And by the way, I've got a free printable up for you. So if you subscribe, you will get a free printable. It's right there on my website, margefenelin.com. If you'd like to invite me to speak, I would love to do that. That information also is at margefenelin.com. If you want to contact me, it's all there, margefenelin.com. There is a wealth of awesome inspiration waiting there for you. Also, you can connect with me there. My Instagram, my Pinterest, my Twitter, and my Facebook accounts are right there accessible to you on the website. So you can follow me on those social media venues. Just search Marge Fenlon and you'll find me. I can't wait to hear from you. I would love to hear your own stories of being a fool for Christ so that I can share it with others. Now, before you go, I ask that you please help me to bring the world to Christ through Mary by sharing this podcast with people in your life. Please share it. Please spread the word so that we can get many people to follow and participate in this ministry of bringing the world to Christ through Mary. So, my friend, thank you so very much for listening. Until soon, let's remember that the only thing stopping us from becoming holy are the excuses we make for not pursuing it. May God bless you, and may our Mother Mary protect and guide you.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.